We've been looking for the last several Sunday mornings at our practical response to God's grace and God's goodness. When we consider the book of Hebrews, and we've been in there for some time, we see how much better things are through the gospel of Jesus Christ than what they had to go through in the Old Testament system. And that is really one of the major themes of the book of Hebrews, is pointing out to us the absolute supremacy of Jesus Christ and how much better He is and what He did than anything that was ever provided in the past. And as we've looked at Hebrews 13, we realize that the springboard for this chapter was back in chapter 12, verse 28, which reads this: "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace." So here it is again, showing us that the best thing that we can have as a Christian is Christ, and then a practical response to His grace and His goodness is this: whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. In other words, what we've learned about God throughout this book ought to motivate us and challenge us to serve God in a very practical way that we see in chapter 13. We need to keep this in mind as we learn how to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That is what chapter 13 is addressing. And so by way of review, to keep our verses in context, in verses 1 through 3, we learn how we can serve God acceptably as a Christian. We've already looked at this, but in verses 1 and 3, you can serve God acceptably in love. And we talked about love for each other, love for strangers. We talked about hospitality as a church. But not only that, we can serve God as a Christian in love. And in verse 4, it talked about impurity. It talks about this relationship that husbands and wives possess within the marriage relationship and how that ought to remain pure. This is part of serving God acceptably. Our relationship with God is reflected in our relationship with each other, and especially in that unique bond of a husband and a wife. You can also serve God acceptably in contentment. Verse 5 and verse 6 talks about being content with what God has given us and where God has placed us. This is part of serving God acceptably. It's not complaining and murmuring. And if you remember back in the Old Testament, that's what the children of Israel were constantly doing, weren't they? They were murmuring and complaining and griping about the circumstances that God had placed them in. And we see that throughout Hebrews as well. But then he says this: if you want to serve God acceptably, and you ought to, you do so by being content in the state that God has placed you. You also serve as a Christian, you serve God acceptably in faithfulness in verses 7 and 8 through what you've learned. We look back at what the things we have learned from the teachers that God has placed in our life. Specifically talking about ones that had influenced us in the past. And if we are faithful to what we've learned from God's Word through those tools, through those instruments, this is part of serving God acceptably, remembering what we've learned. And then in verses 9 through 16, which is what we looked at last Sunday, we serve God acceptably by having a heartfelt response to His grace. A heartfelt response, something that we see and experience in our heart is then lived out in our life. But then that leads us to verses 17 through 19. Again, quite a few verses away from where we started in verse 28, that springboard for this chapter. How can you serve God acceptably in reverence and godly fear? How can you serve God? This ought to be a question for us. We ought to want to serve God because of how He has served us. And then as we look at these verses, we learn how God is served in a way that pleases Him. And so verses 17 through 19, which will be our text this morning, you can serve God acceptably in fulfilling your responsibilities toward the leaders of your church. Before we look at those verses, we want to consider what God has given to us as believers. God has called His church together in the form of local groups. Yes, every believer is part of the worldwide church of God. And yet, God has given us a wonderful expression of that church in local congregations. God has done this from the very beginning of the church. He has brought together believers of different backgrounds, different situations in their life, and they have a common union through the Spirit of Christ. They've all been baptized in one Spirit. They've all been brought together into one local church body. And so this is the expression of that unity that we all have with other Christians throughout the world. God has called us together in local church bodies for the purpose of worship, which is what we're doing here. We're worshiping the Lord through our singing, giving Him the sacrifice of the praise of our lips, but also by receiving. Worshiping is not just singing. And unfortunately, that's a misconception today in many churches. They say that they're going to have a praise and worship time. And all they do is they sing, and of course they have the drums and the guitars, and they think that that is the sum total of worship. Worship is not necessarily an outward expression, but rather an inward response to what God is doing in your heart. And so worship is, yes, expressing what God has done in song, but also responding in our hearts to what God is teaching us through His Word. Giving through the offering. That is part of worship. Again, an outward expression of what is going on inwardly in your heart. But so, as we sit here, this is part of worship, listening and learning and responding to what God is teaching us through His Word. But we are also brought together not just for worship, but for fellowship, encouraging one another, blessing each other, exhorting one another, challenging each other to continue in love and good works, but also for service. These are three aspects that God has called us together as a church. We have a responsibility toward God in worship. We have a responsibility toward one another in fellowship, but we also have a responsibility toward others outside this place in service and witness to them. This is what God has brought us to at Grace Baptist Church. We are a local expression of the church that God has established. We are a local expression that comes together for those three purposes: worship, fellowship, and service. Now, each local church can come in a different form. Now, this is why there are different forms of churches. That's why you've got Presbyterian churches, Lutheran churches, Methodist churches, and Baptist churches. Why? Most of this has to do with the government of how that church operates. And the Bible does give us some freedom to the form and function of local churches. And that is why we would be willing to have a minister of another denomination, whether it's a Methodist or Presbyterian or Lutheran even, if they stick closely to the Word of God and the fundamental truths there, they are welcome to come in fellowship with us. Because there's a difference, not necessarily in the doctrine that is being taught and preached, in the essentials and the fundamentals. There might be a few things on the side that we might not agree with, like pedobaptism, baptizing babies. They have their belief in Presbyterian circles. We believe that it's solely believers' baptism. But they do believe in baptism, praise the Lord, and they do have believers' baptism there as well. But what we do is we come to the fundamentals and we realize that there is some freedom as we look at how a church operates, how a local body operates. We as Grace Baptist Church may not operate as some other Baptist churches. And that's okay. We have some freedom and liberty there. But the Bible also teaches that within each of those different forms, He has established certain offices within those church bodies. We're not going to look closely at this, but the Bible shows that there are pastors within churches. There are elders. There are deacons that are explicitly mentioned in the New Testament. And each one of these individuals has certain qualifications and responsibilities toward the church. And we see these throughout the New Testament. So in order to maintain unity and harmony within His church, God has established a leadership group over that church. And He tells us in these verses not just the responsibility that the pastor and the elders and the deacons and the leadership has toward the church. There are other passages that we will explore as time goes on to learn what those are. But do you realize that there are responsibilities that you as a church body has toward the leadership that God has placed within Grace Baptist Church? That is what these verses talk about. Let's read verses 17 through 19 as we consider this is part of serving God acceptably, recognizing not only our responsibility toward God and toward each other, but also our responsibility to the leaders that God has placed within the local church. We read in verse 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." And then he adds, "Pray for us, For we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that is referring to prayer, that I may be restored to you the sooner. These verses are talking about a responsibility that the church has to those that rule over them. That phrase is describing the leaders that God has placed within His local churches. Now, it's not referring to dictators. That word rule that we have in the King James Bible there is actually the word that we came across earlier in verse 7. If you look back over there, it says, remember them that have the rule over you. And we talked about what that word rule means. It literally means to go ahead of. It doesn't mean to rule in a dictatorial fashion like Hugo Chavez or the guy from Iran, I can't pronounce his last name, where they're ruthless, okay? Where what they say goes. That's not talking about the kind of leadership that God has placed in this church. So when we consider that word rule, we need to realize that it's not talking about just a slavish obedience, but rather it is following the leadership that God has placed as they are traveling along the path that God has given them, faithfully executing their office and service for the Lord. It is a obedience and a following of the leaders that God has placed. We need to realize that these are the leaders that are found in 1 Peter 5:3. You don't need to turn there. But again, as I mentioned, there are plenty of passages that talk about the responsibility that the leaders of the church, the pastor, the elders, the deacons, has toward the church. And one of those is found in 1 Peter 5:3. And it says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. This is how God's leaders lead. They lead by example. They lead by precept. They lead by looking at God's word. And as Paul said, he said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. And as I veer away from following Christ, stop following me. So we have a responsibility in this obedience, this following after the leaders of God's people. You have a responsibility to follow, yes, as they follow God. Now, some church leaders have used these verses in Hebrews 13 to show their power. But we must remember how these verses are used in context. The entire book of Hebrews talks about the supremacy of Christ. Remember in chapter 12, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one that is ultimately our good shepherd, our great shepherd. He is the one ultimately that we follow with a heart that is impassioned with Him and what He wants us to do. He is our leader. He is our shepherd. So when we come to these verses and it says, obey them that have the rule over you, we always remember that God, through Christ Jesus, is our shepherd, and we will only follow the leaders that He's placed over us as they lead us to Him. Okay? But also, we also, in the context here, verse 28, is talking about our service of God. Part of our obedience and our submission to the leaders that God has placed over us recognize a mutual submission and a mutual service toward each other. If you consider the verse that we're going to be looking at this next week in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, it talks about being submitting ourselves one to another. So this is a responsibility not just for the church body toward their leaders, though that is there. But also there is a submission and a willing submission and service of the leaders toward the flock as well. We also need to remember that there is a spiritual success to the church that is implied here. The whole purpose of the leadership that God has placed in Grace Baptist Church is for the success, the spiritual success of the people within this body. Now, as your church leaders are faithful in their responsibilities toward God, you are to be faithful in your responsibilities towards them. And there are some responsibilities, and that's what we're going to be focusing on this morning. As pastor, what is my responsibility toward God and toward you? Among others, 2 Timothy 4:2 says this, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. There are certain responsibilities that I, as pastor, and as John and Bob as elders, and as our deacons have towards you as a church body. And if we do not exercise those responsibilities, we are shirking that. We are disobeying what God says. But we also need to remember, if I stray from God's Word, your responsibility is to get me to leave or to leave yourself. But as we follow Christ, as we point you to Christ, and not necessarily disagreeing about the minors and some of these different things that even some of the denominations don't agree fully over, as we are leading you to Christ, and I pray that that is the substance of my ministry and the ministry of Grace Baptist Church, as we are leading you to Christ, you have a responsibility, as long as you're a part of Grace Baptist Church, to follow after. And to do so in the way that is described here in verse 17, 18, and 19. When we are doing this, you have a responsibility toward us and toward God. And that's what these verses address. The responsibilities of the church toward her God-appointed leaders, the pastor and the elders. Now, one of the pictures of the church is that of sheep. Of course, we know from the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Well, God uses that picture through the New Testament as well to describe what a church looks like. It is a sheepfold, okay? Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep. He is our ultimate shepherd. He is the one that we ultimately follow. He is the one that we ultimately respond to. In fact, if you look down just a few verses to verse 20, it says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant," he is the great shepherd of this wonderful flock called Grace Baptist Church. But again, he, as the great shepherd, has brought under shepherds to this flock. People that are responsible to him to lead this flock where he would have us to go. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says this, that God gave some apostles. There were some early churches back then that God gave apostles to lead, but then he describes others, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That word pastor in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, is the same word that we see in Hebrews 13:20, shepherd. A pastor is a shepherd. He is someone that leads the flock by going ahead, following the ultimate shepherd, Jesus Christ. And as you, as a sheep, as a Christian sheep, our responsibility is to follow the shepherds that God has placed in our lives. In fact, in Acts 20:28, it describes the church body. It says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers." And this is describing to the pastors over that flock to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. The pastor is the under shepherd, and the church are the sheep. Now, does this mean that God doesn't have a place for you at Grace Baptist Church? There are other passages that we need to consider. Every Christian has a God-given gift that they are to exercise. It doesn't mean that we are over you in a sense that we are superior to you in office or in personality. Not at all. God says we are equals as church people. We have a unity in the bond of peace through this, the Holy Spirit. But we each have responsibilities. As leaders, we have responsibilities to lead. As sheep, you have responsibilities to follow, as well as to exercise your God-given gifts. And in doing so, we will function as a body that pleases God. The shepherd has responsibilities toward the sheep. However, this morning we're going to look at the responsibilities of the sheep toward their shepherd. What are your responsibilities toward your pastor and elders? That is what we're going to be looking at, because that's what our text addresses. I've got to tell you, I told Tom on Friday when we were talking a little bit, that when I was approaching Hebrews, I realized that when I started in Hebrews chapter 1, that Hebrews 13:17 was coming up, because this is not a comfortable message to preach. It's difficult to preach a message that some might think is self-serving. But as we go through the Word of God and we go through it in an expositional fashion, as we go from verse to verse to verse, we realize that God addresses these topics. And it is my responsibility, as I already read, to preach the Word. And as the Word brings these responsibilities out to you, I would be neglecting my responsibility if I didn't bring your responsibility out as well. I would not be preaching to you the whole counsel of God. So even if you might think, well, this is self-serving, this is something that you want us to follow you no matter what, I've already said, be followers of us as we are of Christ. We need to keep these verses in context, and we need to make sure that our responsibilities are fully involved. But what are your responsibilities toward your pastor and your church? First is obey your shepherd. First is obey your shepherd. Verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your souls as they that must give account. Your first responsibility to your pastor and your leaders within Grace Baptist Church is one of action. And that is to obey. What does it mean to obey? It means to yield your actions to another. It literally means to yield your actions to another. You may want to do one thing, but as a leader presents to you the options that God provides, you yield what your plan is and what your actions are to the actions that are required and desired of you by your shepherd. As I mentioned before, one of the responsibilities that God gives the shepherd in 2 Timothy 4:2, it says to reprove, rebuke, exhort. Those are three things that a pastor and elders ought to do toward their flock. But there is a response, an obedience, a yielding of their own actions to the actions of those leaders that is required of you. For example, that word reprove literally means to give direction and directives. So when your shepherd gives directives from the Word of God, as I perform my responsibility to preach the Word and to reprove in certain areas, you are to perform your responsibility to be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The only directives that I have the liberty to provide you as a church are the directives that come from God's Word. And so as I preach the Word of God, you have a responsibility to obey what is said from God's Word and from the pulpit. You have a responsibility when the Word of God pricks your conscience and pricks your heart, and God says, you are doing this, but you need to start doing this, and He uses me as a tool to do that, you have a responsibility to listen, to learn, and to then obey. Because it's not just me that you're obeying. It is obeying the very Word of God as He has given me to preach. Not only are there reproofs that you are to obey, the shepherd's directives, but there is also the shepherd's discipline. And we see that in the word rebuke. When sinful character or conduct is addressed in the life of you as a church, what is your responsibility toward the elders and the deacons and the pastor of that church? It is to obey and submit to the shepherd's discipline. There are times when, and it's a very unpleasant thing, when there are certain responsibilities that are addressed in Scripture that are being neglected in your life. And we as God-given elders are responsible to come to you and say, this is wrong, this is sin. What is your responsibility? Your responsibility is to obey to the rulers that God has placed over you, the elders and the pastors, and submit to their direction and discipline. And that leads us to that word exhort, the shepherd's direction. Sometimes there is a ministry focus. Sometimes there are programs and projects that are not explicitly stated in the Word of God. But as we exhort you to do what's right and give you ways to do what is right, to serve one another, to love each other, to pray for one another, you have a responsibility to get on board and follow along the leaders that God has placed over you. God says your first responsibility is to obey them that have the rule over you. As they are leading you in the steps of Christ, you are to get on board and follow after as well. What will the result be when you obey your shepherd in this way? We see in verse 17 that you will receive a good standing. When it states in verse 17, that they, referring to the pastor and the elders, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. There are two challenges there. A lot of times we look at that verse and we think, boy, that is a big challenge for the pastor. That is a big challenge for the shepherd. It says that they watch for your souls. And that's very true. There is a big challenge there for shepherds, for pastors and elders. We are to diligently watch over you. We are to diligently pray and serve you. Why? Because I have to give an account of how I have been your shepherd. That is a big challenge. I have a responsibility to watch over you, and there will come a time when I am in heaven, and I will give an account for how I have been your shepherd. But the challenge doesn't end there. Because this is referring to believing pastors, pastors that have been faithful. The challenge, I think, is not just for the shepherd, but it is also for the sheep. Because when I give an account of the flock that God has entrusted to me at Grace Baptist Church, I will not only be giving an account of myself, I will be giving an account of you. I will be sharing with them what you have done in your responsibilities as a flock. I will give an account of how I have been your shepherd, but I also will give an account of who I have been a shepherd to. And the question is, what kind of report will be given about you? There will be a report, and we will be diligently watching. But we are to give a report about a particular flock. You know, every year, every semester, students dread the time when they get their report cards, don't they? Why? Because it tells the parents what has gone on in the past. They realize that they haven't been studying as hard or haven't been as disciplined in this area. Now, God, of course, knows what's going on here. God knows the type of response and responsibilities that you are exercising toward the leaders of your church. He knows this already, but there will come a time where I give a report of my responsibility towards you, but also, likewise, of your responsibility toward me. That's a challenge for both of us. Challenge for the shepherd and the sheep. So the question is, are you obeying the shepherd that God has placed? When I preach God's word, do you obey? If you don't obey God's word, you're not only disobeying me, you're disobeying your Lord. The second responsibility that you have that we see in these verses is not just to obey your shepherd, but also, secondly, to submit to your shepherd. Verse 17 adds that. It says, obey them that have the rule over you. That is yielding your actions to the leadership of the church. But also, and submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls as they that must give account, and they do it that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Your second responsibility is one of attitude. The first responsibility was one of action. Obey. The second responsibility is one of attitude. That is to submit yourselves. Whereas action, that obedience, was to yield your actions to another, here we have to yield your will to another. You see, it's not just the actions that matter. It's the attitude. Any parent knows what this is all about. Any parent understands that you aren't just after actions, you're after attitude. And when a child says that they will do something and they go ahead and do it, maybe you tell them to clean your room. You're downstairs and you say, go upstairs to clean your room. And they say, okay, I'll do that. And then as they're walking up the stairs, you hear them going, oh man, I've got to clean my room. Oh, I can't believe I have to do that. And all the way up, they slam the door and they're in their room cleaning. They're obeying in action, right? They're submitting themselves to the God-appointed authorities in their family. But are they doing it in attitude? Absolutely not. We see here the very same thing within the organized structure of the local church body. When God has appointed leadership within this church, there is an obedience, an action, but there is also an attitude and a submission. And again, it's talking about the shepherd's directives. When the Word of God is brought out and it reproves you, if it gives you detailed instructions on what you ought to stop doing or what you ought to start doing, in your heart, you ought to submit to God and His Word and the leadership that He's placed over there and say, God, I will do it. Not because I have to, but because I want to. Not because it is something that I want to display to others, but because I want to be pleasing to you. Remember, verse 28 of chapter 12, we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We want to serve God acceptably. And part of serving God acceptably is submitting to the leadership that God has placed over you. Some of us might be thinking, that's hard to do. God didn't say it would be easy. But it says that it's a responsibility that we have toward the leadership that God has placed here. The shepherd's discipline. Again, sometimes someone might come to you and say, this is an area of your life that needs to be addressed. And outside you're saying, okay, I agree. But inside you're rebelling and your heart is hardening. You're saying, I don't want to do that. Who are you? Who do you think you are to be able to come to me and talk to me about this? Don't you have issues in your life? Absolutely. We all have issues in our life. But God has given us responsibilities in order to discipline and rebuke. And you have a responsibility to listen with a good attitude and then with right actions, obeying God. But also the shepherd's direction. Sometimes a direction may not be when they're exhorting you to do a particular behavior or a particular emphasis. That maybe that's not your emphasis. That's not something that you're totally on board with. The Bible says that you need to have an obedience and a submission to what the leaders in the church are trying to accomplish, not for themselves, but for the glory of God. And as we do that, you follow along. But what will the result be when you exercise this second responsibility, this one of attitude, when you submit to your shepherd in this way? Well, if you were to submit through obedience, there would be a good standing, a good report. But here you would find a good service. And this is a very personal thing, because when it states here that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you, do you realize that when you have the right attitude toward the leaders within your church, it is a joy for them to serve? And when it is a joy to serve someone, the person that is going to be served receives a blessing and a benefit like you would not believe. I remember when I was in high school, we would do on occasion, we call it RAM, a rake and mow. And we would go to an elderly person's house, and we would have some lawn mowers and rakes and stuff. And especially during the fall, we would rake up leaves, and we'd go to these houses. We'd clean up their yards and things like that. And we did it not grudgingly. We did it because we wanted to. We loved it. We loved serving. And as we loved serving, do you realize that in that blessing, we received more blessing from that than the person that had their lawn mowed? We receive that kind of blessing. And the same thing holds true. If you are obeying and submitting in attitude and in action the way the Bible teaches to the leaders within your church, do you realize that the result is this, that they will be able to serve you with joy and not with grief? Because if they do it with joy, it is profitable for you. If they do it with grief and a hard heart, if they do it with difficulty, and they do it with trepidation, and they wonder, well, are they going to follow me? If I make this change, is it going to be questioned? Are they going to just blow up at me? And all these different things, with those types of questions, it's unprofitable for you. How do you respond to your pastor and church leaders? Or how you respond to your pastor and church leaders has a lot to do with how you grow as a Christian. Doesn't the Bible teach a lot about our response to authority? If you rebel toward the authority of your parents as a child, it shows something of your Christian character or lack thereof. If you have a problem with challenging the authority even of the government that he has placed over you, it shows a character flaw in your Christian life. But the same thing holds true within the church. If you have a problem both in attitude and actions towards submitting to and following after the leadership that God has placed within Grace Baptist Church, it shows that there's an issue in your own spiritual walk with God. How you respond to the leaders that God has placed in your church will have a lot to do with how you grow as a Christian. In fact, if you are a burden, and this is describing when they serve with grief, if you are a burden to your church leaders, it becomes difficult to serve. And you will not grow as you could have or should have. But if you are a blessing to your church leaders through this obedience and submission that is referred to in verse 17, it is an absolute thrill to serve, a joy to serve, and you will grow and you will flourish and you will be blessed in return. I have a friend who's a pastor in a church here in Indiana, and he has a member of his church that is literally a thorn in his side. And every time he makes a decision or has an idea, it is constantly shot down. And I've talked to him on several occasions. We've gone out to eat on a few occasions. And he is serving with grief. He's not serving with joy. He's serving with grief. Now, he goes to the Lord and says, God, help me to have the right kind of attitude and the right kind of spirit. He's having the right kind of response to the situation, asking for God's grace to help him to serve with joy, help him to not be weary in well-doing. But he's human. And he does get down. He does get discouraged when someone is constantly throwing darts at his ideas and throwing darts at him. Even though he's faithfully teaching and preaching the Word of God, trying to get an old church that has been established and steeped in certain traditions to go a way that would honor and please the Lord. This is the desire of his heart. He's a good pastor. He loves the Lord. He loves those people. But he can't serve with a joy and a liberty that comes from a people that are willingly following with attitude and actions, obeying and submitting, following after them, and they're not serving God in the process in an acceptable way. We need to realize that how we respond to our church leaders has a lot to do with how we grow as a Christian. Are you submitting to your shepherd? How is your attitude? How's your attitude toward preaching? How is your attitude when it's 12:1 and you know that I'm only on point number 2? How is your attitude when you are called to serve? How is your attitude when you see things changing and it may not be exactly what you want? Color of the carpet, or this, that, or the other. Things that are really immaterial. How is your attitude? The third responsibility is to pray for your shepherd. A third responsibility. The first one was one of action. The second one was one of attitude. This one is one of assistance, and that is to pray. He says in verse 18, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you, the rather, or actually that could be translated the more, to do this. I want you to pray for me more, more exceedingly, more earnestly, so that I may be restored to you the sooner. One of the best ways to encourage your pastor and leaders and to enhance our ministry is for you to pray. Now, there are many specific ways to pray for your pastor and other leaders. In fact, I read once a list that some church member wrote up, and it was really astonishing. This is what they literally were praying for their pastor, if not on a daily, but on a weekly basis. There are churches that have members that are praying during the service, lifting their pastor up while he is preaching. And the picture of this is back in the Old Testament. If you remember, Moses and the children of Israel were in battle, and Moses was standing there, and God said, lift up your hands. He lifted up his arms, and every time that Moses would lift up his arms, the people of Israel would win, and they would prevail against their enemies. But then his arms would get tired. If you do this any length of time, they're going to get tired, and they start to fall. And as his arms would fall, the children of Israel would then start to fall back and be defeated by their enemy. And of course, Moses would see that, and he, as a good, godly leader and a good example to follow, would lift up his arms again, and he would try to keep them up as long as he could, and they would prevail in battle, and then he would get tired, and they would come back down, and then they would start to lose again. So what did Aaron and Hur do? They came alongside, and they lifted up his arms. They gave him a place to sit, and they held up his arms. That is a picture of what you as a church does when you pray for me and your church leaders. We will not prevail as a church within this community unless you pray for the ministry here at Grace Baptist Church that is exercised in this pulpit every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, other times, kids' night out, Transform team meetings. All these things are opportunities for you to prevail in prayer for your leaders. And yes, to come alongside in prayer, but also in service. We can't do this alone. In fact, we are not to do this alone. We are to be a church together and do this together. After pray for us, a statement is made. And this is one of confidence. The writer of Hebrews says, pray for us. And then he says this. He says, we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. I don't believe that statement could have been made without their prayers. That word for combines or joins together that praying responsibility with what they could testify and declare their conscience was like. I believe that because of the prayers of the people of that church, the writer of Hebrews could say, I have a good confidence or a good conscience. That word trust isn't just, well, I believe or I wish or I hope. It says, I am persuaded. I am persuaded that I have a good conscience. In all things, I am willing to live honestly. He could say that. Why? Because the people in his church were praying for him regularly and earnestly. So what should be the content when you pray for your shepherd? And I believe that that phrase in verse 18 gives us a clue. You need to pray that I have purity in character. When he says we trust we have a good conscience, it's talking about purity in his conscience and character. This is absolutely important, yet it is awfully difficult to maintain a good conscience. In Acts 24:16, Paul says, herein do I exercise myself. Exercise. That takes effort and energy to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. In order for me to be influential in your life and to have power in preaching and prayer, I've got to have a pure conscience and a pure character. I will not be able to say with confidence, I trust I have a good conscience apart from your prayer for the purity of my character. There are temptations and trials all around. Yes, they are great for every one of us. They are greater still for the pastor and leaders of a church. Because the devil knows that if you smite the shepherd and strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. He wants to break down pastors and elders and deacons. He wants to tear them down because that is how he gets to tear down the church. Why? Ultimately, because he can't touch the shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. He can't touch him. But he can touch you. He can touch me. He can bring temptations in my way. You need to pray for your pastor and your leaders that we have purity and character. But you also need to pray that we have purity in conduct. He adds, in all things willing to live honestly. That word honestly doesn't just mean to speak the truth. It literally means to be good. It's the same word as is used for good conscience. It is to live good in an excellent, honorable, and even transparent way. Pray that I will be pure in conduct so that I can effectively minister the Word of God to you. And as you do that, I will be able to minister with joy, and you will profit. Are you praying for your shepherd? It goes on, verse 19, but I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. We don't know the situation or the circumstances where the writer is. He may have been gone preaching at another place. He may be in prison. He may be detained for some reason. We don't know why he is gone from his people. And we see from this that there are times, there may be times, that your pastor or your elders need to be away from this place. This last week was a good example of that. I went to Michigan for 2 days and spent some time ministering. That was not just my ministry. Do you realize that was an extension of the ministry of Grace Baptist Church? Sometimes you have to share your minister, share your pastor, share your elders, share. But pray earnestly. Pray the rather. Pray earnestly that I might be restored to you the sooner. Pray that that ministry is effective, but that I'll get back here where I belong to serve you so that you might profit as well. I need your prayer, but you also need your shepherd. Not only does the church need spiritual leaders, but the spiritual leaders need the church and your prayers. Without your faithful praying, our ministry will not succeed. We need to urge you to pray for your leaders. A few things to pray for. Pray for our Christian walk and discipline, as was mentioned here. Pray for our roles as husbands and fathers. Pray for our grasp and understanding of God's Word, that it might be right and accurate. Pray for our preaching and teaching of God's Word, that it might go forth with the power of the Spirit. Pray for our times of counseling and witnessing, that the Lord might give fruit. Pray for our times of direction and decision making. And also pray that you might have the right responses and exercise the right responsibilities toward the leaders that God has placed within this church. We need to serve together as shepherd and sheep for the sake of the gospel of Christ. We each have a role to fulfill. Some are more transparent than others. Some are more visible than others. But we each have a gift and a role to fulfill. We have responsibilities towards you. You have responsibilities toward us. If we are found faithful in each of our responsibilities, God's going to bless this work. So the question that we consider this morning is, are you exercising your responsibilities toward the leadership within Grace Baptist Church? Because that is how you serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. Let's close in prayer.